LexisNexis Insurance Law Community Podcast. Presentations and interviews with leading attorneys and industry professionals. On this edition, Selena Lindy of Perkins Coie in Washington, D.C. on time element coverages for businesses in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy. The opinions expressed by guests interviewed on LexisNexis Legal Podcasts do not necessarily reflect those of Reed Elsevier Incorporated, LexisNexis, subsidiary companies, shareholders, employees, or customers, and should not be considered legal advice. I'm Steve Persler of LexisNexis. I'm joined by Selena Lindy of the Washington, D.C. office of Perkins Coie. Ms. Lindy's a partner with the firm's insurance coverage practice, representing policyholders in complex insurance coverage matters. She represents clients in federal and state courts throughout the country and has an equally active arbitration and mediation practice. She represents corporate policyholders in a wide variety of insurance coverage cases involving environmental liability, directors and officers liability, fraud, employee dishonesty, asbestos, and many others. Selena, nice to have you back. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure to be here.
Another natural disaster affecting businesses and homeowners, this time from Superstorm Sandy. Focusing on the business aspect of this, Selena, if a business owner is looking to file a claim arising from Sandy or the nor'easter that hit a week or so later, quickly review the types of policies that might respond.
Absolutely. There's multiple policies that would respond to help impacted businesses in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy, the nor'easter, really any natural disaster. Businesses should review their entire portfolio, but I'd say pay close attention to your first-party property policies. They're obviously going to respond first. Trade disruption policies, supply chain policies, event cancellation policies, that's for conferences, for Broadway shows, for hotel reservations, any kind of concerts, that type of thing. Inland marine policies may also be applicable here, transportation and cargo and warehouse policies, and even travel policies with all the closures of the airports and other transportation. In addition to reviewing your own insurance portfolio, businesses should also double check to see if they're additional insured under policies purchased by another company. For example, under their landlords or building owners policies, or even under certain customers or suppliers or vendors. Anywhere where they had asked to be listed as an additional insured, they may be in a position now after the storm to need to review those policies as well to see if there's coverage available for them.
You and I recorded a podcast in 2011 following Hurricane Irene, in which we talked about many of these types of policies, as well as specific examples of exclusions, such as flood exclusions and notice requirements and things of that nature. And many of those same issues are present as a result of Superstorm Sandy. But today, talk a little bit about time element coverages. How can this coverage assist businesses affected by Superstorm Sandy?
Well, time element coverages are typically found within property insurance policies. And what they do is they protect policyholders from economic losses other than the physical damage that was caused by the storm. So while they're typically found as grants of coverage or additional endorsements in property policies, sometimes they're also standalone time element policies, or the coverage could be seen in a type of comprehensive business policy. But the most common time element coverages, and really the ones that a lot of the losses from Sandy will be responding to, and maybe even more than half of them will fall into time element coverage, and that would be your business interruption coverage and contingent business interruption coverage. And what those coverages do is they provide coverage for loss of business income from the inability to conduct business or the inability of key suppliers or customers to conduct business. Another area of time element, or another type of time element coverage, is civil authority coverage, which protects policyholders from losses caused by the inability to access its property as a result of a civil authority. So when there's the curfews and the mandatory evacuations, that sort of thing. And ingress and egress coverage, which is basically the same type of coverage. It's the inability to access the property, but it's caused by something other than a civil authority. And last in the time element coverage category, I would mention the extra expense coverage. Those are the ones that can assist businesses and that really are the ones that they should turn to and look at immediately after the storms.
Well, let's start with the classic business interruption coverage. Explain how that's triggered and what does it cover?
Well, business interruption coverage provides coverage for income that is lost when a business was disrupted as a result of lost or damaged property. And that's why they're usually found within the property policies. Typical coverage grants, if you look at your insurance policy, in the coverage grant for business interruption, it would provide something like, actually, let me quote a form. Coverage is afforded against loss resulting directly from necessary interruption of business caused by direct physical loss or damage to or destruction of from the perils insured against real or personal property. So what that means is you have to have an interruption of your business. Your business has to cease, or not necessarily cease, but could just be slower and you know, you have a downgrade in your business and not as much. And you have to have some type of physical loss. Now, there's usually five things that policyholders have to show. They have to show the covered peril. Here with Sandy and with the nor'easter, wind, fire, we saw all the fires that occurred after Sandy. Those would be covered perils. Then they'd have to show that the covered peril resulted in lost property or damage to property that was covered under the policy. Now, this is true most of the time. There are some exceptions to this, but generally you have to show that there was some type of damage to your property. The third element would be that property damage has had to be the cause of the interruption of your business. The next one, that the interruption of the business then caused a loss of income. I know it sounds strange, but sometimes it could, you know, these types of storms can increase the income. So you have to show that the business actually did lose income. And the last, that the loss of the income occurred during the time when the damaged property was being repaired or replaced. Now, one other thing that policyholders need to understand is that the coverage for business interruption coverage is usually limited to the income lost while the property is being repaired or replaced and restored, or to a specified amount of time found within the policy. And I've seen this as short as 6 months, but most policies have it as a year or a two-year time frame. A heavily litigated area in business interruption coverage is whether a business has to cease all operations. And I know I mentioned this earlier, but if a business that continues to operate but at a lower standard, they can also trigger business interruption coverage. And states and jurisdictions have come down on both sides of this issue. So it's really, you've got to pay close attention to your policy language. But even if you or your risk manager who's been working for you for 30 years and knows your policies inside and out thinks that something may not be covered, unless you know all of the potentially applicable state laws, you can't really bet on that. So you have to be careful. Even areas where you think there may not be coverage, it could actually exist. Property policies, they actually differ greatly, and there's significant differences between sometimes even your primary policies and your excess policies. And you have to be very careful not to blindly accept denials without assessing how that state law, the applicable state law, and even deciding which state law is applicable may be a question. But once you do know what state law, how that state law interprets particular provisions within the policy. So I'd say that that's kind of a general overview of the classic business interruption coverage.
Now, what about businesses that had to cease operations because of the storm, but did not suffer any physical damage?
Well, that's another area where the state law is going to be the deciding factor. Some jurisdictions have held that policyholders lost profits where the policyholder did not suffer physical damage, but others did, are covered. There are also coverage grants within, other coverage grants within the property policies that policyholders need to look at. Even if you're not covered by your classic business interruption coverage because you don't have property damage, you may be covered under utility service interruption coverage. You may be covered under the other time element coverages that don't require physical damage, such as the civil authority, the ingress egress. Even though business interruption coverage may not apply, it doesn't mean that you don't have some type of lost income coverage available throughout your portfolio. And I think at the very beginning, we just discussed the different types of policies that may actually apply in this case, and all of those policies need to be reviewed.
Now, in a case of a business interruption claim, does the coverage stop as soon as the company resumes operations?
No. Usually business interruption coverage doesn't cease until the business returns to normal. This is typically found in the policies within a restoration or extended period of coverage provision. The policies, however, they do usually include clauses where that policyholder has to be actively mitigating their losses. Now, insurance policies are always, or I shouldn't say always, but in most jurisdictions, and actually, I guess I can't say always, strictly construed. So, where they're silent on issues or there's ambiguity on issues, they'll usually be found in favor of the policyholder. So, you have to be very careful when you're reviewing to determine what actually it's what it says. But if there's wiggle room, you have to look always to the state law. And I know I sound like a broken record on that, but it's really, really important because you can be entitled to recover losses during your closure until all normal businesses resume. How you quantify whether or not you're back to normal is a big question in these policies as well. I mean, given that now transportation systems are still running at less than full capacity, certain areas are still under evacuation. You know, I mean, even now with the nor'easter, you're going to have kind of, okay, is it one loss? Is it two losses? What's going on? And all of those have to be reviewed. But generally, I mean, going back to the first question, the coverage doesn't stop. If you get denials, if you get something that says it's stopped because your business is now open, but you're still suffering lost profits on a daily basis compared to what you would have been during the period, then by all means, you should fight that denial.
From classic business interruption to contingent business interruption now. Explain what that is and how that coverage can assist companies impacted by the storms.
Well, contingent business interruption coverage is different than business interruption coverage because, and I'll call it CBI for contingent business interruption. CBI protects the business against economic losses that are caused by the inability of your business to receive a supplier's goods or services, or economic losses because your business is unable to supply goods or services to customers, thereby preventing you from selling your product.
So you have the involvement of a third party there, one way or the other.
Absolutely. So it's basically coverage for economic losses that a policyholder suffers because of damage to or destruction to another, this third party's business property. So this is also invaluable coverage where you haven't suffered any property damage yourself. For example, if a supplier can't deliver goods that the insured regularly receives and needs for its business operations, no food delivery for restaurants or markets, or because the transportation and the trucks weren't able to get to you with certain supplies, or if a customer can't accept delivery of your goods and services, then CBI coverage can assist and may pay for the resulting economic loss. CBI coverage is really important and is a valuable protection given the emphasis nowadays with many businesses not keeping large inventories and instead relying on kind of just-in-time inventory and your tight supply chains. CBI is becoming a larger component as a result of that treatment of inventory in the U.S.
Companies aren't storing or stockpiling things as much as they used to.
Exactly, which can be beneficial because then you have less inventory loss during the storm, but then it has a much bigger impact on your CBI coverage because then you can't get the goods needed to continue your operations.
And you mentioned that there are other time element coverages companies should look for in their insurance policies.
Yeah, and we touched real briefly upon these at the beginning, but there's civil authority coverage, ingress egress coverage, and also extra expense coverage. Now, civil authority coverage is what I said before, that it provides coverage when a policyholder loses income because a civil authority prohibits or limits access to the property because of covered damage to other property. So when you had all the streets closed in Lower Manhattan, you had the curfews in effect. You know, nobody could go down there during the storm and even after the storm for a period of time until the flooding subsided. And none of those businesses were obviously able to open. That would fall within civil authority coverage. One thing with civil authority coverage is it's usually limited to a specific period of time. Most commonly, we see it between 2 weeks and 2 months. So that's something to keep in mind, whereas your business and your CBI will continue for much longer. Another time element coverage is ingress egress coverage, and that's for when there's an inability to access the property by something other than the civil authority. So it could potentially even be debris blocking so that less people, and it doesn't actually have to be that nobody can access. It can be less people are accessing. It can be preventing or hindering your ability for your customers to get to your place of business. The last one would be extra expense coverage. And this is big whenever there's a storm because it indemnifies policyholders for reasonable and necessary costs of conducting the business when they can't get their property up and running or there's some other issue. So basically, this is relocating your business. getting new trailers up, providing temporary equipment to employees or to others, and or getting one of your offices in another state operating, and all of the expense of sending your employees to live on the West Coast for a month to get the business to continue. Also, extra expense coverage could be the increased cost of materials, getting new vendors. You may have a great contract with one of your suppliers that you negotiated for 3 years to get your widget for 5 cents, but now your widget maker can't get you your widgets, so you have to go out into the market and you're now paying 15 cents. So that difference would be covered under extra expense coverage.
In some cases, businesses not just damaged, but no longer exist anymore because of the storm. What happens if a business lost copies of their policies during the storm? What should they do?
Well, the first thing is to reach out to your broker. It is true that policyholders generally need to prove the existence and the terms of their policies, but they shouldn't be discouraged if the policies were destroyed in the storm. Contact the broker, request policies, request copies. If that fails, if the broker for some reason doesn't have it, or you don't know who the broker was and you can't find that, there's other ways to reconstruct policy evidence. You can do it with accounting records. Sometimes you go back to old board of director minutes. You look at for any types of papers that would give you extrinsic evidence of the policies, and then kind of do your investigation and get there from the extrinsic evidence. And sometimes, you know, even in coverage cases, there won't be a policy. Now, we usually see that happen in your occurrence-based policies that are 10, 15, 20, 30, even back into the 1920s, where you have lost policies and they're trying to prove them up. But sometimes it even does happen with claims-made policies and newer policies. You have to look and kind of put on your investigative hat, but businesses may have had to give proof of their insurance to their landlords, to some customers, to some vendors. So you got to start thinking creatively on where can I find any evidence of the policy. And if you do have a broker and you know at least the broker's name, who the broker is, you should call and give notice of the claim. But if you don't have that, you're going to need to do some of the legwork. Regardless, don't give up. I mean, in newer policies and the types of policies that are going to apply to this storm, there should be copies somewhere. Worst comes to worst, if you know at least the carrier's name, you can go to them. They have to act in good faith. They have to find it if they have it. And there's different ways to address this. And, you know, you can always speak to your broker, speak to your coverage counsel, but they have different ways to kind of pursue and locate and create and reconstruct terms and policies that have been lost in natural disasters.
How does a policyholder measure its business interruption losses?
Well, generally, there are provisions within the insurance policies that state how business interruption losses should be calculated. They may be measured as the net reduction in gross earnings minus any non-recurring expenses. They can also be measured as the net profit that's being prevented from being earned plus expenses during the restoration period. I mean, I know, again, we say this whenever we talk about insurance, but it does depend on the policy language. But policyholders in a lot of property policies, in a lot of the even standalone business interruption policies, have significant wiggle room in how they can value their lost income. And in large cases, when you're talking about millions of dollars, you really should hire forensic accountants that can help you with this and coverage counsel that can walk you through what the scope of your coverage and your policy is. And the reason to do that is that otherwise you could leave money on the table, not realizing the difference of three or four different measurement ways that you can kind of look at your loss, and then coupling it with the applicable state law. For example, you may be able, under certain policy language, to make the argument that a business's losses should be measured based on what profit they would have made had they been open during or immediately after the storm, not what you would have made in spite of the storm and on a normal October day during that time frame or November day. So, for example, like a company that sells generators, a home improvement company, if they had generators in stock, which I know is a big if beforehand, but if they had the type of product that people after a storm would have wanted, and if you can then calculate your loss based on what would have happened if you were able to open during or immediately after the storm, those types of companies are going to have a much greater loss calculation under that method versus just what they would have made last year at the same time frame. This is one of the areas where it's one of the most significant areas of coverage disputes for time element, for all time element coverages. Forensic accounting fees and hiring the forensic accountants whenever you have a really large loss, it is imperative. And under quite a few policies, in fact, under the majority of policies, these fees are even covered. So it's crazy not to do it in most cases. You may even have coverage for that cost in your policy, and they do this for a living. They can help you out. They can maximize the amount that you actually recover.
How can a company maximize its insurance recovery for the time element losses that you've talked about here today?
Well, I know, you know, we referenced the podcast we did last year on Hurricane Irene, and I know we go over this whenever we have a natural disaster, but I think it's important. So some of this may be repetitive, people are listening to both, but obviously the number one thing you do is you gather and you review every single policy that may apply. It's critical. You need to know exactly what you have. You need to know if you might be an additional insured under someone else's policy, and you need to review that one as well. The next step would be to evaluate actual and potential claims. And you got to be careful here because you're not going to know the extent of your damage necessarily immediately after any type of storm or event. It can be months down the road, especially with contingent business interruption. What we were talking about earlier with inventories and how companies are keeping less in their inventories. Well, after storms, businesses that didn't think they were going to be affected, all of a sudden, their supplier had a one-month inventory and still is out of operations. They didn't even realize that this was going to be an issue for them. But now they're not getting anything, and we're a month, 2 months past the storm, and it's all of a sudden hitting new businesses that weren't affected. You want to evaluate your actual losses, but you want to think about whether or not you're going to have potential losses in the future as well, and if there's other claims that you may need to be considering, and whether this is the time to kind of look. If you know that you have a supplier, if you know that you have somebody that you rely upon that's in the affected area, what is their inventory like? For your own protection, you may need to be lining up vendors now to help you out in negotiating your prices. Document your loss. And this occurs with time element, obviously, with the time element coverages and regular property damage as well. And I know we didn't address that as much today, but take videos. If you have real property damage, take videos of the real property damage. If you have time element damage that's caused by ingress, egress, you know, and it's blocked, take some video of your roads. Take some video of what's happening and of the intersections and where things are blocked that are hindering customers from coming to your business. Document in every way possible because that's going to make it easier when you're dealing with the appraisers. And especially in cases like this where you have a very, very large event that's impacted a number of companies, it's going to take a while to get all the appraisers out there. And you might be dealing with appraisers a month down the road, 2 months down the road, where all of the evidence of your ingress, egress issues and stuff are gone. Now, while you'll still have civil authority orders and you can point back at those, some of the other things you need to document when they're there so that you can later prove your case. Providing prompt notice, obviously, you know, whenever you have a loss, you need to be very, very careful to follow the notice procedures that are outlined in your policies. Many notice provisions are just simply as soon as practicable, but some may actually have certain time frames, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. And in some jurisdictions, those time frames can be strictly enforced. Now, I'm not saying immediately fill out your proof of loss or do the other stuff because it's going to take time to assess your total damages. But you do want to give notice of your claim as soon as you can. The consequences to not giving notice, while I said that it's strictly construed in some jurisdictions, don't let that completely dissuade you. If you think you've missed a deadline, obviously you should still do it. There's other jurisdictions where a carrier will have to prove prejudice. While generally that doesn't happen with claims made policies like we're talking about here, it's possible. So be careful. But if for some reason you miss a deadline, there still may be coverage available. Mitigate your losses. There are provisions within your policies, so know what your responsibilities are to getting your business back up and running as soon as possible. You know, it has to be a necessary interruption to get business interruption coverage. Well, that necessary, if you're not mitigating, it may not be necessary under some state law. So be careful and make sure that you're doing the best you can to obtain goods from other suppliers and to get back moving. Cooperation. Big clause within the policies, and a lot of policyholders have wonderful coverage, and then they fail to cooperate, and they can run the risk of losing their coverage. So cooperate with them. Make sure that you answer questions and requests in a timely manner. If you're unable to, because you just can't assess the loss, you just you know, you're one of the businesses that was completely destroyed, or you're also dealing with your own personal homeowners issues and everything, ask for extensions in writing. You do that, they can't unreasonably withhold the extension, so you protect yourself in that case. I think one of the most important things that policyholders that goes awry during these types of claims is the failure to watch what they say and how they say it. You have to be careful in how both you and your employees characterize any loss. If you are a retailer with multiple stores or a business that has suffered, you know, millions of dollars in losses, you really need to have the spokesperson, a particular risk manager, someone in your company that's having the conversations with the carrier. And you want to be careful. I mean, if we go back to Katrina, how much litigation there was over the language that was used. If you have water damage, but it's water damage and wind damage, you're saying flood can be excluded from policies. And even though you might not admit flood, it was wind-driven rain, your employees or you may have used shorthand and called it flooding, and then you're going to litigate the issue forever. And while ultimately it may come out, but it would be after, you know, potentially even years of discovery, was it wind, was it this? And it could be those words that you use that get you into the rut in the first place instead of the actual actions themselves. Keep all receipts. It sounds simple. You can't imagine how many times that doesn't happen, though. You want to keep the receipts. You want to detailed accounting of all of your loss. Check your policy. Sometimes the policy may require particular support regarding the loss other than your normal business practices. So you want to, if you know, you keep one copy of something, and just as an example, or you only record certain information regarding what you've purchased. Your policy may require specifics that you're not recording, that then after the fact, you're going to spend a lot of time and money going back and getting. So read the policy, check the language, and make sure that you're providing and keeping track of the support that the policy requires. Complying with deadlines and policy requirements. You know, this part of it can be seen kind of part of cooperation, but a little bit different. If you have the proof of loss date, you know, make your proof of loss date or ask for an extension. You have examinations under oath are required under a number of these policies. Again, policyholders can get frustrated because they're dealing with so much and then they need this examination under oath. Some people ignore it because they're dealing with their personal homeowners. They're dealing with, you know, the loss of their entire business, reopening other stores. Don't ignore requests. Ask for extensions, and they can't be unreasonably withheld. Request partial and advance payments. You know, if you have to go out to a vendor and get, in like that widget example, and now you're spending the 15 cents, ask for a partial payment. Ask them to come in and to help you with mitigating your losses by bringing in those extra supplies. Just be very careful on any checks that you sign from insurance companies that you're not giving away any of your rights. But under property policies and time element policies, carriers often have the duty to give you partial payments, especially with property. And I know we weren't dealing with the real property so much in this podcast, but you know, if your building is destroyed, there's no question that the carrier is going to owe you quite a bit of money. It may be an issue between, okay, I value it at X and you value it at Y, but everybody knows it's going to be at least a certain amount. They should give you a partial payment immediately, and especially if that then helps you get your business up and running, gets your temporary, you know, another rental place or a temporary location or a trailer or something. So request that, and then you're not paying the interest off of it. They are, and you're getting that you're not actually paying interest off of anything. You're getting the money right up front and center, and you should be asking for that.
And you want to keep track of all these communications with your carrier, right?
All communications. Anytime you're on the phone with them, you know, and the specifics. Also with the broker, anytime. So be careful with that. A big mistake people make in these types of claims is not hiring their own appraiser. Lots of policies even pay for your own appraiser, but if you're talking about a big loss, you definitely should be hiring your own appraiser. The last thing, Steve, is really just, you know, seek advice from coverage counsel when you need it, and let them help you navigate your policies. seek the advice of forensic accountants when you're measuring your business losses. Often these can be paid from within, you know, the amounts that you spend on these forensic accountants are paid by the policies. But those experts will really be able to help navigate the best way to maximize the total recovery that your business can receive after a horrible event like this.
And is there then a good time or a right time to retain counsel?
You know, I mean, we've already been retained by a number of clients looking for storm stuff. It depends on the extent of your loss. And the problem is that a lot of businesses haven't even yet, you know, figured that out. And that itself can take experts. But you can either immediately look to your coverage counsel to assist, or you can kind of wait until you've provided notice, you get kind of a handle on the situation, and then when you're in the process of filling out your proof of loss. We often get a lot of calls for assistance about 60 days after an event happens, but before the proof of loss is required to be put in, because people are just really getting their business back up and not paying as close attention to these. However, obviously, the sooner the better, and the one thing that you want to make sure that you do is that you don't, or that you don't do, is miss any of the notice requirements within the policy. And coverage counsel or an experienced brokers and risk managers can really help you navigate and kind of assess what your options are, what state law you need to look at, whether there could be a hook for coverage in a different area of your policy or in a different policy altogether that might ultimately end up letting you recover more than if you used a different approach. So the sooner the better, but at any point during the time, it can be helpful.
A lot of important information. Selena, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for having me. And I mean, although it goes without saying, I will just say, obviously, a really good time to look at your policies is before storms happen. And when you are going through the renewal period, if now in New England's been hit so hard the last couple of years, these issues are going to come into play as we see more and more impacts of global warming. And doing it during the renewal period and seeing if there's gaps in your coverage is also very important.
Selena Lindy, Perkins Coie in Washington, D.C. Thank you for listening to this LexisNexis Legal Podcast. Visit the LexisNexis communities. Like the communities on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter. The LexisNexis Insurance Law Community Podcast, copyright 2012 by LexisNexis, a division of Reed Elsevier Incorporated, all rights reserved.